If you're up against overwhelming circumstances and impossible situations, then you're just in the right place to express faith and to see God do something great. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Paul Chappell, Journeys of Faith. Life is absolutely and undeniably a journey of faith. Every single human being on the planet lives by faith. It's the object of the faith that differs. Every day you express faith, you place your faith in people and circumstances and things all around you. Life is designed by God to be a journey of faith. And when you come up against difficult situations, God wants you to turn to Him, to obey Him, to submit and yield to what He's doing in your life. And it's in that journey that you discover you can trust Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today we study Journeys of Faith, and you're going to be equipped and challenged in your walk with God. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for a host of resources that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth. But today, we first invite you to open to Genesis chapter 39 as we study the journey to Egypt.
Everyone faces crises in their lifetime. Sometimes we'll have a major crisis, sometimes two or three in a row. It seems like every one of us will have unplanned difficulty along our journey of faith. Sometimes they are unexpected turns like Joseph experienced. I don't think Joseph ever dreamed his own brothers would betray him. I don't think Joseph ever dreamed he would one day be in a dirty prison in Egypt. I don't think Joseph ever dreamed that he would be accused and maligned in his character. No one ever plans for such difficulty, and yet it seems like everyone faces difficulty in their lives. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God who ended his life well for the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Boy, what a great testimony. How many of you would like it if that could be said about your life someday? Boy, that we would finish our course, that we would keep the faith. Well, Joseph was a man who suffered greatly, but he was also a man who was faithful to God all through the days of his life. In many ways, Joseph is like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Joseph was despised and rejected of his brethren, so was Jesus Christ. Joseph was loved by his father, so was Jesus Christ. Joseph was victorious over temptation, so was Jesus. Joseph was taken into custody because of a false witness, so was Jesus. Joseph suffered from doing what was right, and Jesus suffered for doing what was right. Joseph was promoted from prison to rule the nation, and Jesus was promoted from the tomb to rule the nations. When we study the life of Joseph, we can see a lot of parallels to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we look at Joseph's life this morning, we're going to see that even as his relationships on this earth failed, his faith grew. And I want you to recognize that while trials may come and relationships may fail, God's intention for your life is that through it all, our faith would grow stronger and our testimony brighter for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I believe this message can help every person in the room today. I believe there's something here for everyone if we approach the Bible with our hearts open to the Word of God. Notice, if you would, as we look at Joseph's life, first of all, we see that his journey was a journey of faith. Joseph was a man of great faith. He was a man who put great trust and confidence in the Lord. And I want you to see what it says there in verse number 5. It says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Joseph was a man who received a dream from Almighty God. He was a man who had faith to receive that dream. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Well, Joseph was a man who diligently sought after God. He was a man who had faith to receive the revelation of Almighty God. Notice that, if you would, in the first place. He had faith to receive God's revelation. Don't take it for granted when you read these words, "Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren." You see, Joseph's dream was of prophetic value. God does not speak to us today by way of dreams. He speaks to us today by way of the Word of God. But in this era of history, God would speak through His prophets, and God would often give dreams and revelation. Dreams in ancient times were to be attended to. They were thought of as something to be engaged in seriously, and especially from a godly man like Joseph. His dream was taken as symbolic, and also it was taken as something from Almighty God. And I want to say this: it takes faith to believe in God's revelation. In other words, when we open the Bible this morning, if we do not open it with a heart of faith, we will not receive what God has for us. That's why I like the verse there, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 in your notes. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You see, the Thessalonican church did not receive Paul's epistles as just another letter from another man, but they received it as it was in truth, the very word of God. They had faith when they received the word of God. And so Joseph had faith when he received this dream that God was revealing a message to him and for his family. But you know, Joseph not only had faith to receive the dream, but Joseph had faith to recite the dream. Now I want to tell you something. It's one thing to hear God speak to your heart. It's another thing to tell someone else. It's another thing to share what God has done in your heart. Well, notice, if you would, back here in the text, chapter 37 and verse 6, and see what Joseph does. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Now here we see Joseph is sharing with his brothers, these who would become the heads of the tribes of Israel, these elder brothers, these proud men. He's telling them, "You are going to one day bow down to me." Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It takes some faith to share the word of God, but how many of you know it took an extra measure of faith for the younger brother to share that with his older brothers? I mean, he's telling them that one day they're going to bow to him. You know, Paul speaks about receiving the faith and reciting the faith. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, he says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but as God who trieth our hearts." You see, what we need in this land today are men and women of faith who will receive the word of God and who will recite the word of God, not as pleasing men, but as having one audience, and that is God, and desiring to please God and God alone. Had Joseph been a men pleaser, had Joseph thought only of himself, he would have never shared the message with his brothers. But because he was a man of God who walked in the fear of God, he was willing to share the message of God with his brethren. You see, it was not his dream. It was God's dream. And this is not our revelation. It is God's revelation. And we must receive it and recite it as God's holy word. Oh, Joseph's journey was a journey of great faith. But notice, secondly, Joseph's journey was a journey of faithfulness. Joseph was a man filled with faith, and because of that, Joseph was a faithful man. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2 these words, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found," what? Faithful. God says, "I've got one requirement of you, that you be faithful." You know, you may not be able to sing the solo. I cannot. You may not be able to play the piano. I cannot. You may not be able to organize things or teach lessons or do all these different things that could come to your mind. But God says, "I have one thing that every one of you can do. You can be faithful. You can be steadfast." The thing I love about Joseph's life is the fact that he could have quit many, many times, and he never quit on God. And we are in an age of quitters, where men quit on their marriage, and where Christians quit on their faith, and where people look for any reason to quit. I mean, a lot of Baptists walk around with the last straw right in their front pocket. They're ready to use it just on a moment's notice. That was the last straw. Joseph didn't have a last straw. Joseph was faithful. Real quickly, I want you to see four tests that Joseph faced and four tests that Joseph passed. First of all, he was faithful when he was betrayed by his brethren. When he was betrayed by his brethren. The Bible says that they envied Joseph. And you'll find much of the difficulty in life comes from someone that envies you, or someone that covets something about you, or someone that wishes they had something you have. Notice Genesis 37:11, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Oh, they were upset at his having received the revelation. They were envious of that coat of many colors. They were envious that they did not receive the revelation. The Bible is very clear that they were angry and they persecuted their brother. The Bible says in Genesis 37 and verse 20, come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams. Do you see that in your notes, Genesis 37, 20? We shall see what shall become of his dreams. You know what they hated the most about Joseph? They hated the fact that he was willing to recite the revelation of God. Folks, if you're going to be a soul winner, if you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you will be rejected of men. You will have times when people will not be happy that you shared with them that they are a sinner and that Jesus died for their sin. You will have times when people do not want to hear that. I just want to encourage you. It is not you that they are rejecting so many times. It is the message that they reject. And they say there in verse 20, we will see what becomes of his dreams. Boy, they didn't like what Joseph had received from God. But I want you to recognize, even when difficulty comes, even when those unplanned trials come into your life, that God plans even your enemies. That God can use your enemies to serve his purpose. And that even though his brethren had become his enemies, even though Joseph did not understand, we're going to see in just a moment, God had a plan all the time. God in his sovereignty was working through it all. God would protect his man and God would do his work. Oh, thank God today for his grace and mercy. And even during the time of betrayal, God was working in Joseph's life. But notice the second great test that he experienced. He experienced this test. He was sold by his brethren. He was sold by his brethren. You know, it's one thing to have your brothers mad at you or envious of you or jealous of you, but how about having them sell you into slavery? Now, some of you say, well, I have had a brother that did that to me. He made me clean the backyard and the garage, and I was his slave. We're talking about literal slavery here. Notice chapter 37, verse 28. Chapter 37, verse 27 says, come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. You know the story. Now they find an opportunity to sell Joseph into slavery. They tell his father Jacob that he was dead. They think this is better than killing him. We're rid of him once and for all. They sell him to a man of great renown and popularity in Egypt, a man by the name of Potiphar. And here, they literally betray and sell their own brother into slavery. And I just want to say again, if you are going to be a man of faith, if you are going to be a woman of faith, if you intend to be steadfast all the days of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, there will come times when people will stand against you. There will come difficulty into your life. The Bible says in the notes, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. My friend, you cannot be on fire for God without having someone say something about you or do something to you. Just what the Bible says. Everyone that lives for God is going to experience some difficulty. Hey, that's why we come to church on Sunday. Amen? so that we can be encouraged and edified, so that we can go back out and tell the dream of the gospel that Jesus Christ has given to us. We must remember that verse. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It does not say it is required of stewards that a man be found successful. There are going to be days when you don't feel successful. There are going to be days when things aren't going forward. They're going backward. But in those backward times, Joseph still loved God. And he still was faithful to God. Here on his journey, we see him being faithful when he was betrayed, and when he was sold by his brethren. Notice thirdly, he was faithful when he was blessed. When he was blessed. Now think about this for a moment. Sometimes the trials come through adversity. But sometimes we are challenged through the times of blessing. I have seen a lot of people hang on during the trial, faithful to God. And then when the blessing came, they were not faithful to God. I mean, they lost their job. Lord, give me a job. Lord, give me a home. Lord, give us children. Lord, bless our finances. And the Lord bless. And the Lord bless. And then they had a promotion and a promotion. And now they had just enough that it's as if they said, you know, I don't need God anymore. I'm okay. And because they were blessed, they did not pass the test of blessing. You know, Joseph in Egypt began to find promotion coming his way. And all of us are living in a kind of Egypt in a sinful world. And Joseph was being blessed and promoted in Potiphar's house. The Bible says in Genesis 39 and verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. And by the way, it is not a sin when someone's business is blessed or someone is blessed at work. And Joseph certainly was not a sinner. And God was blessing him and prospering him. He became the master of the house. And yet through his time of prosperity, he never forgot God. Notice what it says. Later in Genesis 45 and verses 9 and 10, as he's speaking to his brethren, he says, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Did you capture that phrase? God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Never forget that whatever blessing comes in your life, it comes from God. Many a businessman who prays and seeks God and seeks counsel and tries to find the will of God then sometimes will come to a place he no longer needs God's mind in the matter. He can just make his own decision about what to do next. But Joseph never forgot God during the time of his blessing. He did not forget that it all came from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Friend, I don't know what God has done in your life lately, but I want to tell you this, you ought to be thankful for it. Every blessing comes from him. Joseph was faithful when he was betrayed. Joseph was faithful when he was sold into slavery. Joseph was faithful when he was blessed abundantly. And then I want you to see one final test. Joseph was faithful when he was unjustly accused. When he was unjustly accused. Now, right when you think things couldn't get any worse, I mean, you're in a foreign country. You can't see your dad. You are betrayed by your brethren. Now your boss's wife is going to pull one of the worst stunts ever recorded in the Bible. Notice what it says, if you will, in Genesis 39 and verse number 7. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here we see Potiphar's wife attempting to seduce Joseph, attempting to somehow derail him and rob him of his integrity. And may I say that this type of test is common in the society in which we live. It may start with an innocent chat room. I thank God I've never been on one time, of any type. I don't know how folks have time to chat on a computer. Chat with your family. Pray, read the Bible. But I've heard of so many times just an innocent little chit-chat turning into a let's meet somewhere and a marriage is ruined. And I'm just simply saying the devil has been working since the beginning of time to derail people and to cause them to lose their integrity. It may be a little pop-up on your computer. It may be a little friendliness at the water cooler at work. I don't know how it comes in the way in which you live, but I know it came to Joseph and he was falsely accused. He was tested. And here we see as he is tempted by Potiphar's wife, he runs away from her. He says, look it, I'm over everything in this house. I can have anything in this house I want, but not you. You're his wife. And as Joseph ran away, the Bible says Potiphar's wife held his coat. She later used that coat as her supposed evidence that Joseph had been wrong towards her. But I want to tell you something. As Joseph ran out of that house, he may have lost his coat, but he kept his character. Joseph walked in integrity. You see, character is not created in the crisis. It is only revealed in the crisis. And Joseph had been walking with God and trusting God. He had been guarding his thoughts. He had been walking with integrity. And when the test came, his character was revealed. And his character was this, young man. He was a man of God. He was a man who had walked in discipline with God. Well, you know the story, some of you. Potiphar's wife goes to her husband, look at this coat, look at what Joseph did. And now Joseph finds himself imprisoned because of what this ungodly, wicked woman said. In Genesis 39 and 20, the Bible says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Think of that. In a foreign land, betrayed by your brethren, falsely accused, and sitting in a rotten prison, all because you were the one who was willing to say what God said. How many of you might have found reason to get discouraged? Many a man would have quit. Many a Baptist would have said, here's my last straw, God, that's it. But not Joseph. Joseph had learned that wherever he went, God went with him. And that God would provide grace for him. And the Bible says in Genesis 39, 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on in my street. You don't know what's going on at my company. No, I know one thing, though. If you're saved, the Lord is with you. And don't forget that. Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. Genesis 39, 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. Well, I tell you what a blessing to have the Lord with you. The Bible says in Matthew 28, Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Proverbs 16, 7 is a great verse. It says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, while Joseph was in that prison, the prison keeper was kind to him. And God was sustaining him all throughout that time. I think about Joseph as a man who was faithful. I think about great and faithful men in the last several years, men who were pioneers in the fundamental Bible-believing movement in this land, and men who were church builders and soul winners, and men who encouraged millions of Christians, and now one by one, they've been called home to be with the Lord.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, studying currently a series entitled Journeys for the Faith. And friend, your faith journey begins when you come to Jesus Christ in faith. When you come to Him alone as your Savior and receive Him into your heart and life. And friend, if you've never made that decision, we hope you'll make that decision today to let go of religion, to let go of your own goodness, and to trust Christ alone. Invite Him into your heart and life. Confess that you need a Savior and place 100% of your faith in Him for salvation. He will answer that prayer. He will save you, and He will come into your life and begin to change you from the inside out. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.